Hello, everyone. It's the Dante Elefante podcast. I think I've done enough intros without video that I feel confident. I think I can do this with video now.
I'm nervous once again.
I like the idea of just like not having to look directly into the camera. And as you can see, there's like a massive glare from all these lights. But it's a dark and rainy day in Santa Barbara. Man, it's finally raining. And it's December 28th when I'm recording this, so it's finally fucking raining. It took a full year for us to get a little bit of rain, but you know what? I guess I'll take it. Because you know we had some pretty decent rain. Like, I shouldn't be talking about fucking the weather on the podcast, but like, when you live in California, the weather and our potential situation of getting back into a drought. We had just gotten out of a drought, but now we might be back in a drought it's always a topic of conversation. I think in any other state, it's probably really boring to talk about, but California, it's like, if we don't have water, we're gonna die out here. And no one's gonna care, because everyone hates, if you go on TikTok or anything, like, everyone just hates California. Everyone hates Gavin Newsom. Everyone hates In-N-Out Burger. It's like, okay, we get it. But then again, we've had decades and decades of hyping ourselves up, of being like, we're the best state. Fuck everyone else. We're the best state. And now everyone's leaving California. Will I leave California? I have absolutely no idea. I probably won't. I can't afford to leave right now. But there's a lot of great states, man. That's what I hate about that California supremacy. California supremacy here. There's a lot of great states, man. I love Idaho. I think Arizona has some great places. I've been to a few, not Tempe. Shout out to Tempe. Shout out to the three people who were at my show in Tempe last winter. But yeah, totally. There's a lot of great fucking states. Texas is amazing. I get why everyone's moving to Texas. I'm not about Texas, but I get it. Like, it's awesome. And Chicago, Illinois, Chicago is the fucking best. And speaking of being the best, we have one of my favorites, Divino Nino. They're on the podcast. Divino Nino. You got to really hit that Enya. Enya, whatever. I'm bad at Spanish, man. I do not know Spanish, like, at all, so. But yeah, this is a great episode. I had a great time talking to them. They were so fun. So this is what happened. I announced this podcast like earlier, a few months ago, and here's what happened. My internet was so shitty that day that the files, when they finally downloaded, were all off and jumpy. And then they hit me up and they're like, hey man, is our episode ever coming out? And I was like, I lost this one and my friend Chelsea Rose from Summer Twins. Formerly Summer Twins, now she's just Chelsea Rose. I need to reach out to her, but she lives in LA and I know I can see her as soon as this pandemic's over. We'll do one in person, like, but I lost hers due to some internet issues, and Divino Nino's a few months back. And so because of that, I was really stoked, because I felt really awkward asking them, do you guys want to do it again? So I kind of just like brushed it off. And luckily, they reached out to me, and they're like, hey, man, is this episode ever coming out? And can we do it again? And I was like, yeah, let's do it again. So this is it. We did it again. I hope everyone had a very good Christmas. Last week, I seemed paranoid on the podcast because we did have a minor COVID scare over at my house. Someone came over and painted the house and potentially, exposed my father, who exposed me. But you know, it's been a week, everyone got tested negative, I quarantined, I did not see my family on Christmas, which is such a fucking bummer. I did not see Jenny on Christmas, my family. It was so stressful, and I was very depressed. But you know what, it's fine. And I think I wrote a Christmas song for next year. As soon as I wrote it, I was like, oh great, like a Christmas song. It's past the time. No one wants to hear any more Christmas music, especially me. I played a lot of Christmas music this year. And so moving on, like, it was just such a bummer to have to quarantine, and I'm still technically quarantining. I haven't really gone anywhere, and it's just, it sucks, man. It's not this shit is not a joke, obviously. Everyone, it's just, it can happen so quickly. Just one person enters your life and they're maybe they're just a little bit more confident that, like, I'm fine, I'll just go you know, work on the, you know, they were painting our house like outside. But you never know. These are the things you never know. You never know how quick it can change. You know, someone thinks they're fine, but they're asymptomatic, and now they're infecting the whole family, and boom, no more Christmas. Christmas was fucking canceled. But no, for the most part, everyone else is doing fine. Did not see my mother, but I think we're gonna do. I guess I'll go over there this weekend and we'll do something. We'll do Christmas in 2021, baby. Christmas, Disney Soul. Did you guys watch Disney Soul? Let me know your thoughts. I've had a lot of feelings and thoughts about Disney Soul. If you haven't seen it yet, this will be, I guess, kind of like a spoiler. But the ending, I want to know what people's thoughts were on the ending. I've had a lot of different thoughts on the ending. Obviously, this movie is not really for kids. It's kind of like pondering your life and realizing the life of an artist is hard. and you're not going to make money. And it's such a fucking struggle. But it's, at the end of the day, it's your purpose in life. But then at the end, they kind of make it seem like, is that your purpose in life, man? Music? Or is there something more? Is there something more than just like, you know, I don't know. There's a lot, man. Maybe just being a musician and being an artist isn't the only thing. And that's kind of that whole self-centered way in which we live, that we think that everything's so important and all this stuff, all of our art, in reality, it's the relationships with our parents, with the barber who cuts your hair, with, like, you know, it's how you treat people in day to day. It's not just, you can be a great artist, but you can also be an asshole. And then what kind of life was that? You're still an asshole. I think that's that we talked about that a lot in this podcast, just the whole tortured artist thing and using that for your art and not getting the proper help. You got to get the proper help. This podcast is sponsored by it. No, there's no better help sponsorship here. But it is important, to think about your mental health, man, especially right now. It's dark, it's gloomy, it's not fun, you can't go anywhere. Now there's a reason not to go anywhere if you're in California, and you're finally seeing the weather change. And yeah, man, it's a scary time. But the movie was awesome. I thought it was great. I thought it looked beautiful. I thought the animation was so good, and it's just the perfect time for right now, and it hit me hard. It didn't hit me as hard as Coco. I wasn't crying or anything, but it was on that level though. It was like, yeah, it makes you think about life, and I don't think kids are gonna like it. It's not like, I didn't put any spoilers in this. You know what? It's fine. I don't think kids are gonna like this movie. It's above their heads, man. Like, a child has never thought about their purpose in life. They're just living. And I think that's something I want to incorporate into my own personal life. I just want to live, baby. I just want to make some art, live. And then, yeah, I don't know, man. I want to DJ again. I want to DJ in person again. These are the things I loved, and now they've been taken away from me. But you know what? We're moving on. We're moving on. Okay, let's take a phone call. Let's see if anyone left us any voicemails this week. We got a handful, but this one is less. Let's just hear it.
Is this Dante Elefante? I don't know, man. I saw your TikTok, and I was like, let me give this guy a call. He makes some groovy-ass music. He looks like a fun guy. Does podcast type of thing. Yeah, I'll just call you. Oh, we should collab and make a little music here and there. And, yeah, you know, I said we should collab. We'll make some sounds. We take our sounds on a date there, on a play date, and then our sounds have kids, and then we put those kids out on Spotify and YouTube and TikTok and become famous, become buds. Yeah. All right. Deuces.
Yo, this is the kind of stuff I love, man. People reaching out because of TikTok, because of other random platforms other than Instagram. I just love it. I love everyone reaching out, and I've been, a lot of people have come forward to me with some tracks and they want to collab. I am very down for that. Just send me your songs and I'm down to collab, man. Like, I think 2021 will be the year of the feature. I have a few songs right now that I want people on, and I want to feature on other people's songs. Like, let's start collabing, because this shit is whack to do alone, man. I'm not having fun doing this shit alone. I want to have fun, especially in this next year, and start connecting and building a community of, and I just want to meet new songwriters and write new songs. And yeah, it's like I've spent enough time doing this by myself. Like I want to, I don't know. But then again, at the same time, I want to write good songs, really great songs. It's going to come down to the song at the end of the day versus just doing something just to do it, just because I want to collab. But like, it's going to be, it has to be that perfect mix of good song and, you know, a good vibe. And, I think that's where we're going to see some success, at least, even if there is no success, I'll feel good about it. For me, that's like my standard. Do I feel good about this? Like, other than that, yeah, I'm fucking very down. Hit me up if you want to do a collab. I'm very down. So also I have some shirts available. Hello Merch. I'll put the link below. We have a couple shirts left. Working on more merch right now. And yeah, shout out to everyone who's been listening to these intros. I don't know, man. I like intros to the podcast. And I feel like the last two, I'm like easing in. I'll do it without the video. Let me just get more comfortable rambling alone in a room by myself. It's very weird. It's very strange. But now I'm turning on the camera. Let's feel, I don't know. Who knows? I'm just trying to feel good, man. Okay, so Disney Soul, spent Christmas alone. I am COVID-free, thank God. It's a New Year's. My new album comes out next week, January 8th, via Born Losers. You can pre-order the album now. I'll have the link in the description of the YouTube video. And I'm very excited, man. This is it. This is the home stretch. Soon, everyone will have this record. And yeah, I can't wait for you guys to listen to it. It's been a wild journey, man. And it's officially a 2020. It's one of the first 2021 records. I wonder what other albums are coming out next week. But my album's coming out next week. So that's very exciting. Produced by Paul Cherry. Engineered and, you know, co-produced by me. And engineered by Glossies. And it was like an all hands on project. I don't know who's going to be on the podcast next week. It, because it's the week of the album coming out, I might just do like a handful of people. And I don't know. I'm still thinking about what to do next week for the podcast, because it is the album release week. So we got to promote that bad boy, make a full episode about it. Okay. What else happens? Divino Nino, once again, is on the podcast. We talk about reggaeton. They've been really into reggaeton. We talk about community. We talk about Latin representation, indie rock. What's going to happen in 2021? What's their expectations? They've been recording an album in a cabin. We get an update on that. And they're just really great, man. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Once again, thank you so much. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
I'm scared I'll look under the hood. You know,
it just doesn't grow back.
There we go. Javier, oh, take off the hat, Javier.
Yo, take off that hat, bro.
Yo, what up?
You shave your head too? No, I didn't.
No, he didn't.
Dude, we're placing bets.
Look at Guillermo. The Guillermo looks fucking
1 for 5.
We almost had a band full of ponytails.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys diverted that potential disaster.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing, man. Divino Nino, we are recording. We are live. Thank you guys for being back on the podcast. The first episode never came out because of obvious reasons. Internet problems didn't fucking work, but thank you guys so much. And now we get the full band, which is a major plus. And I will say this. This will be the last podcast of 2020. This comes out right before New Year's Eve. So this is our New Year's Eve show, kind of. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, homie.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I appreciate you guys. So we talked a few months ago, and I've been following you guys online. Like, sounds like the recordings are almost done. Where are we at with the record?
Well, we've spent a decent. But right now, it's crazy, man, because we have like up so many songs and so many ideas and so many different vibes. But it's really feeling like we're finally coming to be done, like totally done with one song. Oh my God. And it feels so good.
Yes.
Feels so good. Feels so good, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real, man. It's been crazy because we spent 10 days in a cabin. And in my mind, it's just like, well, we have like over 20 Logic files, songs that have melodies, lyrics, pretty much everything that you need to finish a song. So it's just like, all we got to do is go to this cabin and finish them. But man, the crazy thing is that, like, first of all, after not spending a lot of time together, this is like post-analysis, something I've been thinking about. It's just like, you know, it's just like when I'm in the room with everyone, like when we're all in a room, a specific kind of like tone gets defined, like, oh, I like this. Oh, I like this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the thing is that, I don't know, man, I feel like we all hadn't been in the same room for a long time. So I think it took, I mean, we recorded every single day. It was a lot of work and it was a lot of fun. But I think like those 10 days helped just define what is it that we're going to do. Because, dude, too many vibes. It's just like, oh my God, let's go really hard here. Let's go reggaeton. Let's go hardcore. Yeah. Let's go here. It's just like, it's kind of like, you know, bringing it into focus. And I feel like post cabin has been coming together slowly, finally. And I don't know. I get the feeling that, like, at least this first song that came to, okay, it's coming to an end. It feels like a map that kind of shows you where everything else should go. I don't know. Me being optimistic, hopefully it will be like that, you know?
Man, so how many little seeds do we have? You said there's about 20 different ideas. Like, how many of them are going to end up? How many do you think will end up on the record? How many do you like to shoot for?
I'd say I would hope 10 or 12, you know, something that just feels compact. I don't think we're thinking of doing like a double record or something long. Yeah. I really enjoy the idea of, like, you know, the 40 minute record, you know, something that fits into like vinyl and just feels good, nice and compact. So, and yeah, man, we have a bunch of, like, in terms of, you know, for me, what defines a, like a song that I like is to have a good foundation, good lyrics, melody, chord progression, you know, and a theme. And if we have these elements, I'm thinking, well, all we have to do is record it and produce it. But that's pretty much been the thing that we're playing with right now, because we have a bunch of songs like that. And I don't know, our process is usually like we start off with like 10 songs that we're like, okay, and then we'll probably write 5 new ones, and probably of the big batch, we're only going to keep 5. I don't know. That's how I feel like our process usually goes. But yeah, man, that's kind of where we're at right now.
And what's like the deciding factor of not putting on a song? Is it just like a feeling thing? Like, this one just isn't connecting like the other songs, like in the whole of the piece?
Yeah, everyone can chime in, by the way. But yeah. I feel like you know, it's one of those things where like, it's actually really easy to know when we're all in a room. Like, it's easy if like, even if Guillermo doesn't say, I don't like the song, you can tell that he was banging way harder to the previous one.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we tend to kind of go by feel, where like, we all got to be losing our minds to the song for us to keep it. And like, it's more like that. It's less of like, you know, sometimes I tend to go the direction of like, well, this lyric is really good. And like, we got to have the song, you know, in my mind like that, you know, sometimes I go like that, but ultimately is really whatever we all think is fire, and it happens very organically, I feel.
Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, I don't feel like we've ever had like a strong dispute where someone was like, this needs to be on there, or this shouldn't be on there. It kind of just happens naturally.
How much repurposing of like lyrics or melodies or riffs from past songs also come into play? Does it happen a lot for you guys?
Yeah, it happened on Foam a lot. I feel like that song Quiero, that's on Foam, was like, it was this one song that I was working on. And then I showed Javi like another song that was really experimental, but it had like a Spanish chorus. And Javi was like, dude, this song sucks, but that chorus is really sick and we should use it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, all right. And we ended up kind of collaging it like that, and it worked out. So that does happen, because sometimes you fall in love with like pieces of a song, and if we fall in love with something, it's like, okay, we need to find a use for it, you know, and it slowly falls into place.
Yeah, and that kind of goes into go ahead, go
No, I was just going to say that we have a lot of those, like, I mean, this is my personal opinion, out of those things that we're like, oh, I kind of like really love this. It's just like, it's not a full song, but like, this is like, I love this vibe. And so like, that's what we have a lot. And to me, like, honestly, like that question is like crazy, man, because like, I don't really know, man. I honestly, in my personal opinion, I have to explore the things that made me feel really good till the end, till like, okay, I've tried everything on this, and now this is how like I would think it would finish, and then step back and say, do I like this? And so that's kind of like what I've been struggling in, man. But it could be part of, you know, being isolated from these guys, because I could get feedback easier or faster. And I feel so like, what do you call it? Nervous about sending a mix, because I feel like it's not done yet. It's not done yet, you know? Whereas like if I was hanging out with you guys, it'd be like, this is what I have yet. Press the space bar and it's like, yo, let it roll. Oh, actually I have an idea for that. Really, you do? All right, let's plug you in. Ah, sick.
Yeah.
And so I don't have that feedback. So it's more like, you know, like, ah. I don't know if I should show this yet.
Yeah, so being in the room together adds like a completely different element, because that's definitely what I've noticed from people doing this podcast in the pandemic, is that like no one feels energized. We're all feeling like shit. What's going on? And so there is an added element.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
Yeah, getting in the same room together.
And then we did that like 12 hours a day, 10 days in a row.
Yeah,
it's like press the space bar,
and it was sick, right?
It was sick. Yeah, it was amazing,
like a creative explosion. It was almost too much.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
like after we got back, I was like totally fried, because
for real,
done that in like, wow. Like, and then it was just like this burst of energy that came out. And I don't know. I think it's gonna change the way. The shape of, which is good. Like, I don't know. I think it's a good thing to change the creative process and to not just, and in this case, it was forced, which is fine. Like, but it changed.
Our schedule was so weird at that cabin. It was like, so we literally, so we, I don't know if these guys have talked to you about this, but like,
break it down. Yeah, I want to hear.
Dude, we fucking drank every night. We probably, I don't know. We just like, we try to stop. We were just like,
night one was like the okay, here's how it's gonna roll. We're going to wake up at 11. We're going to drink coffee. We're going to, you know, it's like we set this like, and then from there. Yeah. I don't know. Javi, you should run down the stage.
I think we're finding out why you guys have one song done.
Yo, so check this out. Like our schedule was like once we got into the groove, quote unquote, it was all right, I wake up at 2 p.m. I like literally have my first beer at 4. So like it's only been like a couple hours and you already have your first beer. And then like we work until like five, six in the morning.
Yeah.
And dude,
by that time, 6 a.m., dude, the way the room looks is just like having the computer pressing, you know, record, one homie singing and everyone else laying down on the floor, like, yes. Dead, dude, you know, everyone trying to be there. But it's just like, yeah, dude, it was like, I thought we were going to be chilling a lot, man. Like, oh, let's watch movies.
Yeah.
It was just recording. Dude, like,
yeah, it was also nothing else to do, because it was cold outside and it was snowing. So we went up north to escape the pandemic. And, you know, it was just like, we just got cold weather and like winter weather, like earlier, basically. That's what happened.
How'd you find this cabin?
Just Airbnb or.
Oh,
yeah. Just I basically hit up, well, we wanted to go pretty far north because it's cheaper. And then I would just hit up places and ask the really shady question of like, are there any neighbors close?
Yeah.
Is anyone around that would mind loud noise? And this place was great, because it was on like 20 acres of its own property.
Wow.
And like, yeah, no one around. So it was perfect.
Oh, that's awesome.
Amazing.
I love it. And what'd you guys do for, what'd you guys do for cooking and eating?
We had like one meal, you know, we would each kind of make our own breakfast, you know, little toast, little cereal and fruit in the morning. And then just one main meal, yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Which is like, we did, you know, the frozen pizza thing a couple times, but like, yeah, we try to cook most of the time.
We cooked a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was probably the longest I've gone without ordering takeout.
Yeah.
And we didn't order takeout one time the whole time we were there.
Well, we were in bumfuck Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I feel like I feel like the ritual of eating would also bring you guys even closer together, cooking, like taking, okay, guys, maybe we should just for take real. A break and make some dinner, and then that becomes a bonding experience as well.
Yes. Yes.
It's kind of like we were all like firefighters, like all living in the station together and, you know, cooking the meals together.
Exactly, dude.
I had a dream last night that we were doing it again. We were back on tour and we had all just woken up and it was time to find breakfast. And it was like,
I love it. Yeah.
That's sick, dude.
Oh yeah.
Speaking of touring, as you guys say, you're optimists. Do you think we're going to tour next year? What's the timeline? I think the timeline's like end of summer, October ish. Do you think that's going to happen? I'd love a hot prediction.
I think it's likely if everyone does their fucking job.
Yeah.
Wears masks until then and stays inside and enough people vaccinate. I think so. I'm pretty optimistic about it, at least in big cities.
Yeah.
I think you'll probably have places in like, you know, smaller towns where you go to play. We play a lot in Texas. Texas is great. I'm hoping that, you know, Texans vaccinate and
Well, you know what I was wondering? Like, I wonder if our venues and festivals going to have people like show proof that they've been vaccinated before they show up.
I think
you're going to get a.
Sorry, I think Ticketmaster is doing something like that where you have to show proof of.
Wow.
It's going to come down to
kind of intense. Yeah.
You know, some states are going to be down with that and others are not going to be down with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I'm pretty optimistic. I mean, Dr. Fauci says September, we could have like 40 events, like full capacity. So like, that's in my mind, you should, you know, be able to go play a little venue if that's the case.
So if we're thinking that's the timeline, what's your guys' timeline to get something ready for that moment? If everything goes well and we're like, oh shit, Divino Nino, you guys can go on tour in October. What's your guys' like, okay, we got to get the record done. We got to mix it. Do you feel a pressure to like get that done if everything works out with the way we think it is?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how much pressure, but like the original goal was that by this time we would have the entire record ready and we'd be touring in the summer.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's probably not going to happen. Like we won't have it ready by this summer. I'm still kind of optimistic that we can have it. I think like the process is quicker when we all can meet. So I think that if by this, you know, if by beginning of next year, spring, we can get the ball rolling, you know, I think we can have something ready to drop by like late next year or the following year. But at the very least, I'm hopeful that we can release at least a music video and a song next year.
Yeah.
But I really hope we can do the whole record. Definitely. Yeah. We just got to meet, you know. Right now, I haven't seen everyone since we were recording in this cabin. I've only seen Javi. Javi and I meet. We're going to start meeting. Well, we've been meeting once a week, but we're going to start meeting twice a week. And we're just like cranking. I'm pretty much working on the files that we all cooked up in the cabin.
Cool.
And we're just, you know, organizing them, mixing them. So that's pretty much,
adding stuff to it, like mostly like finishing vocals. It's not like going to be a final version, but I feel like it'll get us enough to be like, okay, this song could be cool. Or like, all right, I haven't listened to this song in a while. I can listen to it now. And I feel like it's not hidden. And that's cool. Yeah. That's cool too. But the thing is that like we have to go through this like exploration period.
Yes.
And me and Cam have been looking at, okay, after this week, what are we start working on next? Because I think we really have to show like mixes to people and like to everybody, be like, what do you guys think about this? Are we going off the our fucking rocker? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So in your eyes, what makes it final? Like, are these sessions from the cabin, will they, once you guys fix them up and add things, will that be the final mix, or are you guys gonna go and try and record all over again once you have these songs really laid down and finalized?
You know, the process for every song is like, it's pretty different. Like, I think some songs will be probably entirely electronic, some will have acoustic drums. You know, the way that this thing happens is, honestly, it's a mystery. Honestly, it's always been a mystery, and it remains a mystery how it's done. Just the fact that this one song, well, Javi and I have been like, so the way that we've been doing it is just like, all right, we meet once a week, and then we leave each other homework, and then we spend the whole week being like, all right, dude, you gotta record vocals for that and get the groove for the bass and drum sounding hot. I am gonna be doing vocals for this thing, and I'm gonna be recording guitar, whatever, you know, we're gonna be doing this, and then we meet. We compare notebooks and homeworks, and then we're like, oh, sick, this is sounding tight. And then, so I think like the way that, you know, just to answer your question, the way that we know is when we you know, you listen to something so many times, like you listen that you either get exhausted of it and be like, dude, all right, this is not hitting. Okay, let's switch it up. Or you can't believe it. You're like, oh my God, this is sounding sick. And I think, like, I would say when we can't believe it, that's when we're like, all right, this one's done, next. And so far, I feel like I can't believe the potential of a lot of songs. You know, when I hear all these songs, I'm like, oh, my God, oh, that's sick. But, oh, my God, he needs real drums. You know, I get semi-excited by a lot of ideas. But I think right now I'm feeling, you know, personally feeling that about one right now that we've been bouncing back and forth. Like, oh, my God. Okay, this sounds like absolutely sick, and then we can move forward, which is, I don't know, maybe like kind of like it'll take us long to have that standard, but you know, I don't know how other people do it, like that's the only way that feels right.
Well, especially during COVID, but like I think, you know, the two songs that we've been working on to finish, I think Pierce has contributed with like a lot of like electronic drums. So like it hasn't been like, okay, like I think it would be sick to try to like get them live, but the way that they sound now to me, they sound really great. They just needed mixing, and so like I think those two could be pretty cool, but I think there's others that would benefit a lot from like these live drums. And we did some live drums in the cabin, which was like, despite the equipment that we had, I think they sounded great. And you know, we might redo those when we could like actually get together, but like, you know, I think I'm gonna try my hardest to like get those like organized so that like they sound
probably,
really good,
you know,
at least to show on the gear.
We probably need to get into
at the end of the day, like if you get like a decent sound or not, like if you capture the essence of the song and it sounds great and you're just like doing this thing,
yeah,
and then I think it works.
We kind of avoid studios, I feel like. Not as a rule, but just as it just seems to happen. Like, if...
Yeah.
It just happens that way. Yeah. No, studios can be. I don't know, it always feels like a race. Like I'm racing against the clock because every hour is another $50 or $75, $100. Like it could be more. I don't know. Those are just the studios I've been to. And I feel like I never get the best product that way. I feel like when I'm just like what you guys just did with the cabin, 10 days, 12 hour days, like pumping shit out. Like I feel like I always get the best results just taking my time and doing it right versus doing shit against the clock. That's why I'm...
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, maybe for some people that works. You know, working under pressure, that can work. But I think the chemistry that we have established, because we've been working already for a couple years, we've established a way of working that it feels like, you know, We've already gone through the process of like, all right, we have these five songs. All right, Pierce, drum day, yeah. Five songs on drums this day. Yeah. And that just doesn't work for us because we can treat the drums. We cannot treat the vocals how we treat the drums. Because for the vocals, it's just like, oh my God. All right, man, I gotta do this vocal take for 3 days straight by myself. You know, I feel like everything needs to be treated with care, you know, for at least yeah. for, so it comes out yeah. in a way that we really like it because collective... yeah, it just doesn't,
I don't know,
we haven't learned, I guess, how to really do like, all right, everyone ready. Like, doesn't really work like that for us. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So who had this idea of getting this cabin? And have you guys done anything like this before, or is it just because of COVID?
It was a collective thing, but Pierce brought it to life. I think maybe we have been talking about it, but it started, we've only done it one time. One other time than this time, and it was when we did Made Up My Mind. It was right when the pandemic was starting, and it was in Wisconsin. And honestly, it was like an experiment. It just sounded kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we did it because South by South got canceled. And we were so bummed because we prepared a set for it and we were like, oh shit. And we're like, man, I ain't gonna like just get like, let's not all get bummy about it. Let's do something fun. We have the time to do it. So like, and it was kind of fun, man, because we brought all the live equipment. So PA, mic stands, ready to play a show kind of thing, and the recording equipment. So I think that made it pretty fun, man, because we were like, as soon as we were getting a little stale recording, everyone looking at a screen, and when the one person recording, we would jump on the live set and just play, try covers out, and man, it was so much fun. That's why, yeah, we were doing a Mana cover, dude. Sick.
Yeah.
So we were like,
yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I love it.
So
that, 4 in the yeah. morning, jamming super hard. Nobody gave a shit.
4 a.m. playing
loud as
fuck, dude. Yeah,
it was amazing. Dude, honestly, if I could have that scenario at all times where I could just like blast, like, dude, like even sub. Me and Cam have been working on this track that has like a lot of sub, and like yeah. we went low on it, and like I think we worked on like okay. on this track for like. I don't know, till like maybe 3 a.m. until like his like GF was like, hey guys, can we like turn it
down? Yeah. Dude, it was like,
but it was like four in the morning and
yes.
We were so yeah, dude.
Dude, so yeah, that's
if I could have
that's that old school shit, making the you know, the subs in your car just going rattling and shit.
Dude,
that's kind of the main inspiration, man, because I live in a Puerto Rican, mostly Puerto Rican neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And dude, like pretty much like, and I live right by a main street. And man, like you hear those subs all the time. And it sounds, you know, you can't really hear the song, but
no.
you hear the subs and they sound so badass. And honestly, we have been kind of like tuning yep. into that vibe. Like yep. we know the subs are hitting right when it sounds like my neighborhood kind of vibe. Like,
totally.
Yeah,
totally, totally.
Yeah, that's sick.
Yeah, I grew up with that too. My dad always had like a massive sound system in his car. And for anything other than hip hop, it would sound fucking awful. But with hip hop and rap, it was just like, I wanted to throw up half the time.
Yeah. And reggaeton, it sounds yeah. sick for reggaeton, yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
neo perreo, that's the kind of shit that we've been getting into.
I remember mm-hmm. when reggaeton hit the United States really big. What was I'm trying to think, like 2004, 2005 ish.
Yeah,
yeah, crazy. That was a great time riding around in my dad's car, and then we would just cruise, up and down the main drag of Santa Barbara. That was like such a big thing growing up, was cruising.
Oh, that's a California.
That's a very much a. Yeah.
I love that shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that California has this, and I think it influences the records, but it's like the people make records there, or at least they used to, and still. But it's like they make records with the car in mind. And
yeah.
So you gotta drive. You're gonna be in a car for a while, dude.
Yeah, I mean, dude.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like five. Car music. Fuck it.
Car music. Saturday, bumping it. That was yep. my childhood.
Hell
man.
Yeah!
I love
loving
that shit.
That shit, dude.
I love that you guys are tapping into that. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hop's gotten crazy good at like producing sub bass, and like not even like bass, but like sub bass.
Yeah, like yeah. What were some of the differences between producing bass to sub bass?
What would you say?
Crazy, dude. I mean, it's different, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hitting, so yeah. I mean, it depends on like what you can hear, right? Because like, at least for me, from a perspective of like mixing, it has been like, okay, well, like I'm mixing bass and the bass doesn't hit as low as the sub. So like, just like an electric guitar, an electric bass guitar, like it hits a certain frequency. And if you get like a 5-string bass, you can get even lower. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of like almost reproduce like the sub frequencies, but you don't get like down to like maybe like the 25 hertz, like,
yeah.
And but it's still, you know, like the old R&B records would reproduce this kind of vibe, because and they would have, that's where they would have like a 5-string bassist that would like do this kind of like low frequencies, and that's why it sounded so sick. So like now this new thing is just like, all right, well, like I honestly, maybe I don't have speakers that are big that can reproduce like these like low fucking frequencies, you know. And even if you're a mixer, you're just like, you might not have like fucking big speakers to reproduce this shit, or maybe you don't have like a sub setup. And yeah. And you know, and if your music starts becoming more electronic, or you want to play it at the club, like you start realizing that like, yo, this shit, once they play it on the PA, like it doesn't sound good. It's not hitting that frequency that other mixes are, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a battle, right? Because so the sub hits that low frequency that sometimes you might not hear, but also most people are listening to music on earbuds, mm-hmm. on fucking headphones, and it's straight to the phone speaker. So if you're not also thinking about that perspective, then like that, the you basically lose the low end. There's nothing there. So you have to also account for like the frequencies that the little speakers can hear. So you know, I think it's there's a different perspective, but I don't know. Yesterday couple of us tuned into our friend Paul Cherry play a show live.
Yeah, I was watching that too.
Did you watch that shit?
Yeah, I was watching.
It was so good. It was so good. And I was blasting my speakers, man. It was just like, it just sounded so good, man.
Really
like,
great
I
mix.
I heard everything. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, coming from Lincoln Hall, I mean, that was just like so, yeah. I mean, I was like, I think all of us were just like, we miss live music.
Yeah. I know. Watching that thing, I was like, damn. This feels so good. Even like the chat section kind of felt like
the chat, dude.
Like, the chat was going off, dude.
Dude, I was firing that chat, dude. I was going. Yeah, dude.
What was your screen?
My screen, DJ Caldo, which is like, yeah, dude, that's what's up.
Hell yeah.
Dude, I was having a ball, man. I legit, like, I would feel like I'm, you know, oh, I'm going to get a drink at the bar.
Right?
And I would just walk around and be like, hey, what's up, Kels? And, like, my girlfriend was like, you know. But, dude, I was on the vibe, dude. I'm like, I'm at a show, dude. I'm having a ball.
My girlfriend called me. I was like, can you not call me right now? I'm like, I'm at a show. That's crazy.
Yeah, dude.
It felt that way, like seeing the chat section. It felt like I was just like eavesdropping on everyone's conversation, like you kind of do at a show. And then the show visually looked good. I was like, damn, this is insane. And it sounded good. And yeah, the bass like resonated through. I was like, fuck, this is crazy. They did such a good job. But Audio Tree always does a great job. You guys have a great session on there too.
Yeah, they have great sound. Yeah, yeah.
That's
awesome. Yeah, man. We had a great experience. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like they do a lot for Chicago, the culture of Chicago, getting certain bands out there. And how was your Audio Tree session? How's it work? Like, how?
It was amazing, man. Honestly, like, I think we were like, I was like a little bit nervous because, man, like, it's a lot of cameras in there. Well, a lot as in like, I don't know, two or three. And like, there's this countdown that they do. And like, yeah, I think we had done like live. We had done at least one or two other ones, like video, you know, live sessions, but that one felt really legit. But I don't know, man, like, it was props to everyone that works in like the engineers, the people who mix it, people like clean, organized, and they made the environment super, super cozy. We were able to get in the in our groove very easily, man. Very easily.
Did you have the chance to redo a song? Maybe if you felt like you fucked up or
something. They don't give you that.
Yeah.
They don't give you that, but they let you kind of practice and jam because imagine dude, everyone setting microphones and shit, so everyone's kind of, you know, you're adjusting your headphones and you're like, oh, let me hear that, so you have time. They let you have the time to like fuck around, which honestly, like, I don't know, I feel like that's good. If they would have let us do, honestly, like, all right, did you feel okay with that, would you want to change anything? Too many options, you know. It's better just like, let us just roll it, you know. Who cares? Yeah,
I feel like you guys all have like a really great vibe with each other. Like, you guys are all very close, and sometimes when the part of starting a band and getting really close with all your band members, I don't know if you guys all knew each other at some point before the band, but like, you get this like tightness where you can just lock in a lot quicker.
Yeah.
And then you notice, man, if you have somebody filling in at a show, it takes, it takes a little bit more maneuvering.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely, man. Definitely. Like, I remember there was a point where, like, it was just Javier, Guillermo, and I, and we didn't, like, we didn't want to do the Craigslist, like, we're looking for a drummer thing. Mm-hmm. So it was just the three of us playing without a drummer, and I was, like, looping drums, and it was just like, man, I don't want to have, like, like, any just people try it. Like, it just felt weird. Yeah. So it was just the three of us, and we were playing shows like that. And it's not like I love looping drums. It was like, man, this is the only way that we can play and do the thing that we want to do. And then Pierce, like, he was just like, yo, man, this is sick. And then boom, there you go.
That's awesome.
JB came in, the whole thing. Yeah. But yeah, we've never been like, you know, I don't know. I think it might work for some bands, but
yeah,
for us, it's just like, you're pretty much establishing a tone live, you know, you're establishing a vibe, you know, and I feel like that's especially live, and it comes through live, and it comes through in a recording, you know, if you're having fun and shit like that. What are these little emojis?
Yeah, what are we doing with these emojis?
I like that.
Yeah. How do you do that? I guess I haven't fucked around with Zoom enough, where I don't know.
He's fucking around.
It's called reactions, and you only get two reactions: or a thumbs up. Yo,
I love it. I love it. That's so cool. So another idea I was thinking about when you guys were just talking about like recreating these songs live. What's that process like of how are you guys going to take, like, Made Up My Mind has a lot going on in it. How are you guys going to bring that to the stage when it's time?
Yeah, man. Like, we already got ourselves into this situation with Foam, because when we did Foam, we didn't have JV with us. Like, he recorded on a couple songs for Foam, but he wasn't part of the band at the time. So we just pretty much recorded what sounded good. But then when he came to play them live, he's like, whoa. Yeah, we kind of did a bunch of synths here, man, and we need an extra hand. So I think that right now, honestly, man, we are, to me, it's kind of, we've been fucking around live on our tour with Crumb. We loaded JV's keyboard. We have this little keyboard that's a sampler as well. So, you know, you can play it as a keyboard or a keynote can play like a crazy sound, or like a chord. So you can sample anything.
You can trigger and sample it. Yeah.
Yeah. And Pierce has that on his drum pad as well.
Cool.
I saw this band this one time, like a couple of years ago, a huge band at the Chicago Theater. I'm not going to say the name of the band,
okay,
but I just remember that they sounded exactly like the record, but like everything, every sound, every like production sound that you hear would come through, and man, it was super boring. As a get-go, I'm not really into sounding exactly like the record, but the fun thing about filling this keyboard with all these sampler sounds that were in the record is that live you can abuse them. So if like in the record you do bing, when we play it live, you'll do like bing, 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 bing. You know what I'm saying? So like, which is kind of cool, man. Like, it's so what we're, you know, the way that we're probably thinking about it is just like, each keyboard might have like three synths and a drum, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then just have fun with it, you know, like we're not really trying to sound like a record, but give people an experience that is, so I guess more of like an electronic, you know, like if you go and see Deadmau5, you know, he's not playing, you know, he's like triggering things. We're just giving people an experience with sound at the end of the day. You know, I think we have become less interested to like, everyone, check it out, we're doing it live, and more like, you want to experience sound waves, we'll give them to you in an organic way, you know?
Yeah, so this playing with tracks is something I don't understand either. Like, and every time I've seen a band where I'm like, whoa, they sound just like the record, someone's just like, yeah, they're playing the tracks. It's like their song is playing and they're just kind of there up there too. And for me, I don't know, that just never felt right to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think all that stuff, like, you know, you worry about making the song and making the song the best song that you can. And then it gives you someone to shoot for to play live or shoot past or be like, you know, this is the same vibe as the song, but it doesn't sound like it, but it's the same spirit.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or like no limits. I mean, sometimes it's good to parse back too. It's like, no, fuck, we can't do that the way it sounds on the record, and that's fine. Yeah. And it's a different thing, and
it's
gonna be. We'll change it up. We'll get the energy out there, but it's just gonna be different.
Yeah. It's like people people pay for the record, and then they pay to see you live. Yeah. I feel like they should be different.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember, man, one of like the first early concerts, I went and saw the Strokes, and I remember like the first like. And I've had this since then, but it was like, man, they played great. They sounded great. They sounded just like the record. I feel a little empty. Like,
I
played the songs exactly how they sounded. There were no interlude. It was just literally like they took, you know, is this it? And then they went into like, you know, some other, you know, they went into a Someday. And then, you know, and it was like there was nothing else. There was no extra anything. And it was a weird feeling. I remember it was like the first time I felt that. And I don't like that feeling. Like, yeah, it sounds like the record, but it's not a different experience. It's like you could have played the record very loud for me and they could have mimed it and it would have been almost similar. And I mean, I love the Strokes. I'm not dissing the Strokes.
Yeah, definitely. Love the Strokes. Yeah. But I get what you mean.
It's like a thing to try to shoot for live is to try to make it different. But also stay true to the songs and not cop out, not be like totally like, oh, we can't do it. It's going to sound worse. It's like, we can't do exactly that. And we're going to make it better for the live situation.
Exactly. Yeah. Because ultimately, like, I don't really think the goal here for us is like, we really want to show everyone how we can play everything so well. Like the goal is more like, let's have a great time kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, we recorded all these things, but ultimately, you know, you paid money to be here and you want to be taken out of your world and your own mind. Let's have a ball, you know? Yeah. And I think, and we make it fun for ourselves. Like, I think if we were just playing to a backing track, it wouldn't be fun for us either. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if it's not fun for us, it's not going to be, you know, fun for them. Yeah.
And there's like an added stress. There's been situations where I've played in groups that have, there's like a fine line of relying on the backing track and using it to enhance what you're doing. And when you're relying on it, sometimes if the computer breaks, you can be in a, like, it's scary when, you know, you got a couple minutes to set and someone's like, the computer's broken. You're like, that's the songs are relying on them so much. And then you're just like, God, what are we going to do?
Oh no. Yeah, I hate that. The idea, I have an issue with electronics to fucking begin with. Like, the idea that I have to rely on a computer for my set is, it's heartbreaking and very scary.
Yeah. For sure.
Oh, man. JV, I wanted to ask you a question because you weren't on the podcast last time, and I'm curious, what's your setup like keys-wise? Like, where are we at?
Well, for the tour we did last year, it was just a Yamaha CS and then a Korg micro sampler.
Mm-hmm.
And then a set of bongos.
Nice. Oh, good. Oh, there you go. I love that. And then key players are always so strange to me because everyone I know plays drums and bass, but like keys, like, is it one of those things where your parents forced you into play piano, but then you got into it, or how'd you get here?
Oh no, this is a new, I started playing keys seriously when I started playing with Divino Nino.
Oh wow.
More or less like full time, yeah. So that kind of like threw me into it.
What did you play beforehand?
JV plays everything better than all of us.
He's the shredder of the band, dude.
What?
Little known secret.
So how long have you been playing keys?
Seriously, about a year and a half.
Wow.
Maybe like two years, 3 years is when I kind of started like dabbling with it. But yeah, really when I started playing with the band.
That's amazing. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't even think about that. I can't think about I've been playing keys very not unserious. Like, you know, when I write, I play keys. But like, hell no. Put me on that. Hell no. I'm not going to do that on stage. Like, yeah. I barely play guitar well, and that freaks me out.
Well, it's something like I definitely know that I'm good at practicing a part and learning it. And that, but if I were like, if someone was like improvise on keys during the session, I would be so screwed. But if someone was like, here's the part, you have a couple weeks to learn it, and then we have a couple weeks to rehearse it.
Cool.
I feel good about that.
Wow.
But yeah, if someone was like, let's jam and you play keys, I'd be like, ooh. I could drop a few chords, like I know it would be like
I could hit you with some scary chords.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's so cool. Yeah, man. There's another thing we talked about that we kind of I've been writing notes as we go along here, but like with song selection and finding out what goes on the record and like how do you manage as a songwriter your ego when everyone's like, I'm not feeling this track.
Yeah, man. That's, I mean, honestly, it's one of those things where like, there's a secret game that we play that I don't think we ever talk about it. But the minute that the dumbest person in the room wins, and if you're taking your song too seriously, everyone's going to make fun of you and you're going to corner, get out of here. So if you want to survive, dude, you got to be the dumbest person, dude. And the dumbest person doesn't care about the song. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of the vibe.
Great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who was going to say? Was anyone going to say? Yeah. Did I cut someone off?
Something like, yeah. Like, for me, it's not so much song to song as it is part to part. And something I had to come with recording is being like, I'm going to hear a song and I'll try to throw out as many ideas as I can and understand or try to understand that none of them will get used.
Yeah.
And if none of them get used, you got to look at it and be like, you know, well, because I trust the tastes of the people writing the song in this group. Mm-hmm. So if they say it's not the part, then I know it's not the part. But it's also something that, you know, it's still a struggle to be, you know, like, well, I kind of like that. Be like, but they don't like it. And ultimately, I trust the taste of everybody else in the group to a point to where if they say it's not the part, then it's not the part, you know. And then just taking the enjoyment of, like, having sat there and, like, gotten to just throw out a ton of ideas on something.
Yeah, and usually the way that it works is, like, I don't think we've ever been, like, oh man, you're excited about that, but that kind of fucking sucks. If I see someone that is excited about what they're doing, I'm like, and honestly, this has happened at least to me personally, where like, I don't really understand it, but I'm like, okay, then we move on. You know, I kind of mute it or put it low in the mix. We work on something else. And then I unmute it, and then I'm like, oh, I get what they were trying to, okay. Because sometimes you just need a little perspective, you know what I'm saying? Or like, see what they're trying to do, because I think like this happened to us recently, where like I remember Javi threw an arpeggiator on this song. Remember when I first heard it? I don't know about that arpeggiator. But then we took it out, and it sounded bad. And if it sounds bad when you take it out, the chances are, no, just leave it on. And now that arpeggiator, I listen to it, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's fucking sick.
Yeah,
it takes a little time, so it's just kind of like, you know, I think it's healthy to walk around like you don't have the answers. Like walking around, like, I don't know. It's kind of fun because you leave yourself open.
Yeah, I'm questioning everything. I mean, maybe that's a COVID brain, you know. I'm just
COVID
like
brain,
stuck in, I'm stuck in this room. And I'm just like thinking about all the possibilities, and maybe I'm gonna drive myself insane. But like, honestly, like, dude, honestly, you have like, think about it in this scenario, right? You have like 50 tracks on, you know, that you have to mix or sort, you know, after you go, we went to a cabin, we got crazy, we took some LSD, everything has been fun up to then. And then you get a project file where you have 50 tracks.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, all right, well, I got like maybe like 5 vocals here. And then I have like 6 vocals overdubbed here.
Yeah.
And then I have 5 bass drums. And then,
yeah.
You know,
that's what we're dealing with. Honestly.
And so things get a little crazy.
These massive like 7 gigabyte files. You're like, what the fuck? Like,
bro, it got
out of hand for sure, dude.
So okay, so how do you go from that craziness to like, how do I make sense of this? It's like, all right, well, mute everything and start unmuting things. So, you know, I know this is the typical shit that people go through, but
no,
like,
but there's lots of people who don't know. So yeah, when you're staring at 50 tracks, where do you start?
Bro, so the approach that I've been going through lately has been like, okay, let me just get kick, drum, and snare sounding really good, and then vocals, right? If I like the song, if it's a song that's like a songwriting song, and then the, you know, there's like vocals, let me just like get the kick and the snare and the vocal sounding good, like at a level that they sound tight, and then let me start unmuting things, and then from that point on, if something that you add on to it is not working, then you question it, and then you just get rid of it. You know, like if it doesn't work, just it doesn't work.
I think that process, to come back to your question earlier, really, really helps with the live performance, because then you can say like, if we only have drums and a vocal, we can do the song. Or if we only have this and this, the song is still good if you take things away.
Yeah.
So that'll help us. Like if Javi feels that the drums and vocals feel great on a song, Javi, like if there were none of us except Javi and Pierce live, they could do the song and it would still still bang.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think having the idea of like how we're going to translate this live helps edit a lot. And I think, you know, something I constantly tell myself while I'm tracking is like, remind myself less is more, because of course you're gonna want to drop 50 tracks, but at the end of the day, less is always gonna be, you know, it's gonna sound busy with like a couple tracks on there,
right?
Yes.
And it's a medium of filtering, because like you also don't want to like limit the creative process, right? It's like the worst thing when somebody goes like, all right man, you can only have 3 tracks here. So like, no man, like I feel like throwing like whatever here, and I feel like throwing, and I hear this now, and like at the moment, like you just gotta go, you gotta paint, you know, like you're painting, and it's like putting limits on like if you're feeling creative about something and excited about something, and be like, no, you can't do that, because we have to keep it to a limit. And it's like, nah man, like we'll do that later, that we'll do that when we drink a cup of coffee in the morning at 9 a.m. Or in our case, it was 2 p.m.
Yeah. Well, that's what was fun. We were painting at that cabin, but it was fun because it was like we were all taking buckets of paint, just throwing them at the canvas at the same time. It was like,
see what works.
Very good.
That's amazing.
You know, erase some of it later, but for now, let's just like
go crazy.
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
So when it comes to tracking, are you guys tracking just like a clean signal, or are you guys printing these effects onto the files, or do you do the effects afterwards?
Mostly clean signal when it comes to, I guess, vocals, drums, and I guess, you know, with a synthesizer, if the synthesizer, you know, it has like, you know, cores on it, we'll leave it, but we tend to keep everything as clean as possible. Obviously, if an electric guitar is going to have like a crazy distorted sound, like that can only come from the amp, then we'll do it like that. But yeah, I guess it's nice to have the control. It's nice to have the control. Although recently we've been, I have been recording with the autotune on, like already printing with the autotune, only because like I don't know, like it feels good to sing with it. And like, I don't know, we were having troubles adding the auto-tune later. I don't know. I guess it was more like a technical thing. And like, also it's kind of cool to commit, you know, be like, all right, you know,
yeah,
here we go.
Yeah. And to add on top of that, I feel like, the auto-tune, people see it as like, okay, you don't know how to sing, let's put it on, right?
Yeah.
And that's not the case. The auto-tune could be explored as an effect. And, you know, there's artists, you can look this up. There's, you know, Charlie XCX, you know, there's just like a ton of artists I could tell you that like, yo, I actually sing with the auto-tune because I can lean into certain glitches. Like when you actually sing a bad, it's bad for like teaching you how to sing bad good.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah,
you can sing badly to it and learn how to sing to the auto-tune in a bad way that it corrects you in a way that you make it glitch. And that's a cool effect.
Yeah.
I also noticed there were times in the cabin, where like someone would it was like an idea foster, like someone, you know, they might not be able to hit this note or have this melody, but it would kind of like shift their perspective of like, if I could, okay, I got to hit that melody when I do it, when I actually record it. But like, that's what I'm going for.
Songwriting.
Kind of away this, like, I mean, I'm not a singer, but I noticed like it takes away this self-confidence thing of like, if you go behind the microphone and you can't sing that note, you're never going to try it. But the thing is that you could sing that note if you practiced it. So I noticed a lot of times when someone would get behind the mic and we would do this, it was like, okay, it was guiding them as like, okay, that's the note you got to hit. Go practice it. If you want to do it for real without the auto-tune. And then it's going to sound really cool. But like, you might not have tried that if you didn't have it on.
Yeah
dude. Mm-hmm. A couple of effects we abused on that cabin. Auto-tune, decapitator.
Wait, what's the decapitator? What's the decapitator?
Everything was crushed. Everything is auto-tune.
It's a plugin that, you know, usually digital distortion on a plugin, it doesn't sound very good. Yeah. Like usually, like to get good distortion, you gotta run it through hardware. But I think the thing that can get you, I don't know, the thing that has gotten us the closest to digging digital distortion has been that plugin, the decapitator. Oh. And man, it's been abused almost in everything. And like, yeah, man, because I feel like, I don't know, man, it might be pent up energy from COVID, but we're usually, you know, tend to lean on the mellow, chill, you know, let's do something pretty. But dude, things have been sounding like pretty, like, you know, pretty like, but so we've been abusing that, man. But, you know, I think like this happened to us last time that we got our record mix with Andrew Humphrey, which is this amazing like homie of ours that lives here in Chicago. He's mixed like all the Twin Peaks stuff and shit. Mm-hmm. Great guy. But like pretty much a lot of what he did to our Logic files was like shut off plugins. You know what I'm saying? He was like, let's turn this off.
Mm-hmm.
He might, you know, when we get this mix, that might happen. But
yeah,
at least.
Yeah.
It definitely helps us get the feel for the song, you know, like getting all these plugins and shit like that for sure. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I think there is a negative connotation or a vibe or a stigma around auto-tune, but I used it.
Yeah.
This was the first record. Well, I used it on some tracks. I mainly used it because Paul Cherry used it. When we were recording vocals together.
Yeah.
I saw him do it. I was like, oh, I've never done that before, man. He's like, there's just little moments. You can sing, but there's just here and here and here. It's like, I was like, all right.
Yeah, dude. It makes it sound better. Like if you don't know how to sing, then all right, dude,
I think Paul said he pitches his voice up an octave.
I believe that
when
too.
He's writing vocal parts to not have the self-consciousness of like trying to write a vocal part. So he'll pitch it up so he can sit there and kind of just like
kind of get the notes. Yeah.
Get the notes.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I think all this stuff is just like, these are tools to express your creativity and just like how you use it. You still got to learn how to use it. It's not like, press the magic button so that we can sell it. It doesn't really work.
It's true. But that's what people think. If you've never used the plugin or anything, you just think, oh, it's auto-tune, it's T-Pain, it's making him sound good. Like, but that's right, even that's a different effect. That's not, yeah. I don't know.
But even that, yeah. I feel like it's going to keep on happening because it already happened for like Pink Floyd. Everyone's
totally.
Like, oh, you're just all those effects. It's like, all right, there are the effects. Go use them.
Go do it.
Yeah, but they did it right. And the same thing with T-Pain. I feel like T-Pain had like really great vocal performances that like just simply the autotune just was the effect that he used for his vocals. Yeah. Like nothing wrong with it. It's just like that was sick vocal performance, you know. And, you know, and it has been for us has been an injection of like, at least for me, like realizing that this new neo-perreo vibe that has just been blowing my mind. Like, which is crazy. I don't know if you've heard of any of this neo-perreo shit.
No, go like, to talk about it. I'd love to hear about it.
Dude, it's so crazy. It's like, so reggaeton is mostly male dominated. It's mainly like talking about sex, talking about like the club, talking about like, oh, you know, like whatever, fucking this girl, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Neo Perreo is like literally focusing on like women. It's like women take over like reggaeton and like cherish like their bodies and like are free to explore the same explicit things that like reggaeton in regular explain, like, oh, like I wanna fuck this girl, whatever, you know, like. Same kind of vibe, but it's from the girl, from a woman perspective. And it's also, there's a lot of focus on DJs. So
yeah,
a lot of the there's a lot of like DJ whatever produced this track, DJ like blah blah blah. And it has like, dude, like as soon as I found out that kind of genre, I was just like really mind blown.
Whoa.
And
yeah,
yeah, who are some artists that we should be looking out for? Who's
anyone? Oh, man. I think the number one, and we've been talking about it, man, is Miss Nina, man. If we could have any guest vocal on our, like, collaborate with anyone we can, would be Miss Nina, dude. She's fucking fire, man. But I think what happened to us is just, like, to give you, I guess, some perspective, is that we've been here in Chicago. I'm sure you're familiar with, like, you know, I guess, more or less the scene that we're in.
Yeah.
And we definitely feel like, you know, we're one of the, in LA, maybe a different story, but at least in Chicago, we're very, like, one of the few, I guess, Latino bands and shit like that. So it's, for a couple of years, it's been us being like, oh my God, this band is into Sonic Youth. I love that shit. Oh, this band is into like My Bloody Valentine or like Jamestown Massacre. All right, man, Jesus, I'm into that shit. Jesus and Marriage. All right, man, we're gonna do this thing. Like, oh, you like that? Oh, fuck yeah. So I guess we're not like super, you know, this is our world. This is kind of what we're into. This is like, you know, and we like the shit. We're into it. But then we had our friend Michael that, you know, it used to be Javi's and I's roommate. He visited us in the middle of the pandemic, like I think like 2 months ago or something like that, a month ago. And then, man, when he came over, I'm like, dude, I've been listening to this artist named Isabella Love Story, which is a reggaeton artist from Montreal, I think. Is it Montreal or Canada?
Yeah, she lives in Montreal.
And I remember thinking, like, man, reggaeton for me has always been, like, gross. I don't like it, you know? Mainstream. Don't like mainstream. I don't want to fuck with this shit.
Yeah.
But man, the way that her stuff hits is just kind of like indie reggaeton. Like it's someone who's like, you know, not super, I guess, you know, famous and huge, doing this thing. And it hits me in a way that I'm like, oh man, I like fuck with this. And it's in Spanish and like really solid lyrics and shit like that. And I, when our friend Michael came to visit us, I remember I showed it to him. I'm like, dude, I really fuck with this. And he was just like, this one time, man, he helped us with synthesizers for Made Up My Mind. And I think it was Michael, Javier and I hanging out one day. We got like matching tattoos of a butterfly. A butterfly tattoo.
There we go.
And yeah, check it out. Javi has it in his hands. We got like matching tattoos. We had just like a homies bonding day. And then that night we took some mushrooms. And then he was like, yo, have you guys heard of like Mistina or like Tomas El Real? You're like, no. He was like, oh man, here, can I show you guys some shit? And we're like, okay, dude. Honestly, after that night, blew our minds. And honestly, it made me feel like, you know, you are Latino as well, Ruben. Yeah. And it kind of made me feel like, oh man, I've been in this, like, you know, American, like, world, legit trying to fit in, being like, oh, I got the guitar distortion, I sang like this.
Yeah, yeah.
And man, it made me feel like, shit, these ladies are doing it. And it's like, man, the way that they're handling this genre is making me feel like, why am I like trying to fit in, like in a way that I can legit kind of just be what I am in this like sick way? And yeah, man. So I think that's what Javi's trying to, like, you know, kind of like the point he's trying to get across, man, is that like this pretty much made like change pretty much the way we've been approaching music, which is just like, yeah, I don't know, man, like reggaeton, I know, is like a funny thing, but the way the very specific way that Neo Perreo is being developing, which is a fairly new genre, has been incredibly inspiring to us, and it has been drastically changing the way that we've been approaching music.
Wow.
Which is just like, since there's not much of a, we haven't had a community this year, you know. Yeah. We haven't been going to the Empty Bottle and to the show here, seeing our homies. So like, this is like, we've had to look inspiration elsewhere. And I think this is where this has come in. And dude, definitely like Javi said, mainly like female dominated genre, and dude, like, incredibly inspiring, like everyone, especially if you're Latino. I think there's something that we should be aware of. And yeah, dude, we're definitely jumping on that train for sure, man. No
yeah.
doubt about it, man.
Yeah, dude. Yeah,
I love it, man.
Shit like that. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I think there is something to that. Like you said, we all kind of lost a bit of our community, so you turn to your community, the Latin community, and
exactly,
and that's beautiful, man. Even if you can find it online, and it feels, and you can feel a connection of like, oh, these are my roots, like, I would love to dip into this. Like, that's awesome, man. Yeah, that's definitely.
I seriously felt, yeah, man. I like, it's like, yeah. Wait, why am I trying to be like, I don't know, like legit, like, no insult to my, I have so many white homies, but yeah, like, why am I trying to be like a white boy? Yeah. Like, why am I?
okay.
Why am I trying to be like that? Like, yeah.
No.
But having said that, this year, one of the best like virtual shows that I've been to has been ran by Apple Live TV, which is A.G. Cook and
Appleville, yeah.
Like Appleville, like, you know, like PC music shit. That was a fucking wild live
so
show.
So sick.
I think, I don't know, it's just weird because like I feel like, yeah, like before we used to go to shows to seek inspiration, and now since there's not shows, you got to find it other places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I don't know, I definitely feel like I've been finding it in weirder corners of the internet.
No shit.
Yeah, yeah, you have to become an internet troll or like an internet like scavenger, dude.
That's the way that I, you know, I mean, if I was going to be inspired by live music in Chicago, I'm not going to go to the United Center. I'm not going to go see a show. I'm going to go to like the weird venue. I'm going to go to like Cold or the Empty Bottle. And it's like, that's just kind of manifested itself in now the internet. And, you know, you're not going to stop being inspired. You know, it's not like it just ends and you're like, oh, I can't go to shows, I guess I'm going to shut down.
Like, yeah.
Go and find it elsewhere if you're hungry. And so I feel like that's, God, yeah, like Javi was saying, like peace, like I've gotten so into PC music and I didn't even know what the hell that was. And it existed before lockdown. And now I'm like obsessed with it. And I'm trying to figure, in the same way that when I would go and see a band and I try to figure out how they're making that sound. Mm-hmm. Now I feel like I'm doing that, but with, you know, more electronic stuff or weirder stuff that I didn't focus on. It was there, I just didn't focus on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think representation is so important. Like, to get back to what you were saying,
it
like, I think I battled with that myself. Like, it took a while for me to just be like, you know what? I am Mexican. I am Chicano, whatever you want to say. But like, it wasn't until I started touring, I realized how important it was when people would come to the shows, like in Texas, and they're just like, you look like I'm light skinned, but like, you know, you look like me. And I don't see me a lot. And I'm like, oh, and it kind of clicked like maybe 2 years ago. Okay, maybe I should put that in my bio. Like, maybe I should like represent it because nobody else is. Like, it's hard. We're few and far between. There's lots of great bands, but it feels like even in California, we're kind of spread out. Like, it's awesome. I think you guys, when people start talking about Latinx bands and Latina bands, like, you guys are always one of the bands people bring up. And then, you know, you guys are doing something important, very important, that's more than just having fun and playing music. Like, you guys, there is a bit of a responsibility around that, too, like representing your culture and yeah. Do you guys feel a pressure to rep? I feel like we all have to take that on at some point.
It comes pretty honestly, I think, to us. I don't know, Cam, right? I mean, we're just like...
Yeah, honestly, pressure, honestly, zero pressure. But like what you're saying, Ruben, when we toured, is definitely, it was the first time where this happened many times when people would be like, man, like seeing like you guys singing in Spanish is like inspiring me to be like, this is cool. I can do this too. And I you know, I think I was, I don't know, privileged, the fact that I was raised at a home where, like, dude, my parents like loved me, and anything I would do, they're like, good job. Yeah. So like, honestly, I feel like I saw Tom DeLonge playing electric guitar and singing from Blink-182. I'm like, oh, I can do it. Honestly, I didn't have that, but I think that's important. I think people need it, dude. It's slowly been getting, I've been getting the understanding how important it is for representation. Like, representation is incredibly important. And I think that more than pressure, it's transforming into an opportunity. It's kind of like, oh my God, I can have fun in this field. You know, like you're inspired by that. Oh, well, we can show you a bunch of, because I mean, technically, like, being an artist and playing music, it's technically what we're doing is like sharing vibes, is being like, I'm into this. Let it go through the funnel of ourselves and let it come out and let us show you the way that we interpret this. So like, this understanding is just making the game even funner. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. That's so cool, man. Yeah. It's it's an exciting time. It's a definitely an exciting time right now to be Latino and make music and tour and see people. Like, you know, I think I talked about this on the last podcast we did, but no one saw that, so I'll bring it up again.
Yeah.
that kind of drought, like after you leave Texas and you're just kind of driving through the South, and it's not until you hit Chicago where I start seeing Mexicans again. I'm like, dude, this is fucking awesome, and the Mexican food's delicious, and it's like, it feels like LA, and
amazing.
It's so cool. That's And since that last episode didn't come out, and you guys are originally from Florida, right?
A couple of us.
Yeah.
Guillermo, Javier, and I are raised in Florida. I think we were all born not in Florida. Guillermo, were you born in Puerto Rico or in Florida?
Puerto Rico.
Born in Puerto Rico. Yeah, so Guillermo was born in Puerto Rico, Javier and I in Colombia. But we were raised in Florida.
When did you guys come to the United States? Guillermo, you first. When did you come to the United States?
I sort of bounced around. I was in New Jersey for like a little bit, and then I was in Mexico for like 4 years, and then Florida when I was like 9, 10.
Oh wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how was that, moving around so much when you were a kid? Why were you moving, your family moving around so much?
Yeah, my dad was just like looking for work and finding in different places, and it was just, I don't know, it was definitely interesting at first being in the United States and getting a grasp on English, and then going to Mexico and being like, my Spanish really isn't all that good, and then getting better there, and then coming back to Florida and being like, my English really isn't all that good, like, or whatever.
Yeah. So being able to be bilingual and fluent in both, like, do you feel like you have a good grasp of it, or now that you...
Both.
Really? Yeah, I feel like that's definitely something that that takes a while. Like, in kindergarten, I was in a Spanish and English speaking class, and then the classroom was literally split in half, and that's where I met like one of my really my closest friends, and kids would be on the Spanish speaking class would be on that side, and then you'd slowly come over to the English side, and then the next year they put me in an all Spanish speaking class, and then my mom was like, he doesn't know any Spanish, why are you putting him in Spanish classes? And the principal literally said, oh, we think he could teach the other kids. She's like, he's fucking 6 years old. He doesn't know English. Dude. He barely knows English. I know. It was bad. That principal was also an awful lady. But like, yeah, oh, that's the kind of stuff that I think about all the time.
I know. I feel you on that. Man. I also like hurt. You know, I feel you on the. Gotta go to the principal's office. Like, no, I don't want to. I don't want to go to principal's office, dude. Like, fuck that shit.
Yeah, dude.
I don't know. Like, I got myself in a couple of those, and like, it wasn't fun, you know.
Javi was a fighter, dude. When I met him, I met Javi when we were in Colombia, and we were like in second grade. But I met him again in seventh grade, and dude, when I met him, Javi had a scar from here to here. Yeah, I just gotten beat up by Russian like hip hop looking kids, dude. But Javi was like, dude, Javi had muscles here, dude. Like this part of your neck. Dude. How do you diamond get earrings. This muscle, dude? Yeah, he had the
I
diamond
did
earrings.
Have a diamond earring.
The diamond earring, yes.
Bad boy, dude.
I love it. Dude, yeah, Javi, dude. It's time to get that diamond earring back, man. Are your ears still pierced?
They're still pierced, yeah.
Let's go.
He has a hole, but it doesn't fully. An earring won't go through it fully, yeah, but you can see it a little bit. Yeah, we'll pierce it. We'll pierce it for him.
I'm telling you, man.
We'll pierce it.
It's been a while, but I feel you, man. I understand the what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that was just like, I don't know. That was like the last time I got in a fight was in junior high. I feel like that's the time to do it. In elementary school and junior high, you just get in fights.
Yeah, you got to get that out of the way.
Ruben, did you ever punch someone with like this side of your fist like that?
Yeah, all the time.
Holy shit. Damn, dude.
Well, because your first instinct is to like hit with that part. Like, I don't know, as a kid, for some reason, that's like your first instinct, like to hit them right here. But yeah, I definitely threw a few punches.
Honestly, for me, I was too much of a wuss. Like, I always hit with this. You know, I did the.
Okay.
They're like, you know, I want to kind of hurt you, but I don't want you to hurt me too bad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Man, yeah, I did not grow up. Santa Barbara is a very safe city, but for some reason, we all got in fights with each other. Like, my best friend would meet up early before school and have like a fight every day before school because we were bored.
Shit.
Like,
holy shit.
Not even a bad, this is a beautiful, safe city, but like for some reason, yeah, kids are bored, man.
Bad boys.
I know,
cool,
man. I'm glad I found music though, because that kind of stopped
dude,
like all of that shit. Like,
how are things in Cali? Are you guys like still playing shows?
No. Nothing's happening. Like all of our sports teams have moved because they can't
really?
Do shit. Yeah. The governor people hate the governor here. People are really mad at him.
Caught, like drinking wine like in a closed restaurant and then was like, yeah, you guys can't go anywhere, but I'm gonna chill here and sip my wine in Napa.
Yeah, and then he lied. Yeah. He lied and said that he was eating outside and then the photo came out. And he was in a restaurant.
Yeah. Hot. That shit's hilarious.
Yeah, people do not like that guy anymore. People liked him for like the first month because it seemed like he was really looking out for us. But then, yeah, he's lost all trust.
Man, that guy should be in a bubble.
Dude, he's like.
You can't do that. What the fuck?
He's like Nancy Pelosi's like son-in-law or something like that. There's like some weird nepotism there. Like.
He looks like he could be a villain in a movie.
Yeah, he's like a handsome dude. Like I think that's why people like him because he's like young
not
and
like
handsome.
The bad handsome thing going on. You
know? I never once had to think about the governor. The last time I thought about the governor was like when Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Governors anymore. I'm so tired.
Well, We didn't have to before, honestly. Yeah. I don't think we're not.
We should. Like,
oh. We should. The last governor I had to think about was Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. I swear to God, like my family, I remember we were all talking about that when that happened. California, man.
Now governors are affecting us directly. Like before, yeah, it was hard to see how they were affecting us, but now you know their name, you know what they look like, and you know the decisions they're making. Yeah.
I didn't realize how much power they actually had.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought my mayor maybe would have had a little bit more power, but like our mayor has to listen to exactly what he says. Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, dude.
The principal.
I don't know. The states I know are really popping. Like, you guys could theoretically go play a show in Texas, like, tomorrow if you wanted to, right? Like, Texas is pretty open.
What?
I don't know.
Texas. I noticed the comedy circuit. Well, there's comedy shows. Yeah, I think there are outdoor comedy.
Wow.
Yeah.
But, like, God, that's – I don't know. I feel the same way about, like, going out to eat where it's like, yeah, I guess there was a time where you could, but, like, do I really want to go out to eat? Like,
yeah,
have someone with, like, a mask on? Like, I don't know. That just –
yeah, it's just difficult. You're putting people
risky, and yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah.
Playing a show, I feel like it's the same thing. Like, I feel like we've had opportunities to play like socially distant shows, and I don't know. I think for me personally, I think I'd get more sad than joy out of it. And also, like, we're so close. Like, you know, this time next year, we're probably going to be playing shows how we used to. It's like just hold off. Just
that's
wait.
What I've been telling to just people a little too. Bit, yeah. Like, there's a fucking light at the end of the tunnel. We're almost there. Just like, hold off for as long as you can. I don't know. It's getting real tough.
Stab you. Yes. Go back to normal.
Yeah, exactly.
We're so close. Well, hell yeah. We've been going for an hour and 20 minutes. I just wanted to say thanks for being on. No one's internet dropped out, so this episode will come out. And I have another question. Yeah. Oh, no, I don't. No, I don't. I was going to ask like New Year's resolutions. Yeah, let's go. New Year's resolutions. Anyone who wants to go
New
first?
Year's
does anyone
resolutions.
Have one? Yeah. This episode will New come Year's out on the 29th.
Resolutions. 29th.
On the 29th. Interesting. Oof, I don't know, man. Resolutions is such a hard thing to think about right now because I've been like, this year has been like whipping me in the ass. It is just like lesson here, lesson there. You not enough are here. Yeah. So like, honestly, man, I don't know. New Year's resolution is to give me a break, bro. Like, you know, like
I want to sleep more.
Give me a break, life. Like, let me chill for a hot sec.
I resolved to take it easy.
Okay, taking it easy. Javier, you said you wanted to sleep more.
I sleep more. Finish these two songs before the year ends, and I feel happy, man. That's all I want.
JV. Yeah.
Probably just always get better at music.
Yeah, there you go.
Consistent.
That's a safe one. Yeah. Yeah.
I stopped biting my nails, so now I don't know what.
Okay,
I don't know
cool.
You're done, dude.
Pierce.
I feel like I just want to come out of this more, you know, enlightened, appreciative of things and. When shit gets taken away, then you everything falls into perspective. So I hope to keep that perspective. I don't want it to be just this weird blip where I'm like, oh yeah, I remember feeling that. It was crazy. I want this
That's
to stay.
True.
Yeah. I do. Yeah. I want pain to stay within me, as fucked up as that sounds, because I think it is important. And I think it puts everything in perspective.
Yeah.
Dude, so, it really is.
Pain? I don't know. I don't fucking know.
Guillermo.
Yeah.
Guillermo, what's your New Year's resolution? To grow your hair back?
Yeah. Ponytail.
No more hair. I don't know. Just make it. Make it. I just resolved to.
All right, we're be making alive. It. Just be alive. Yeah, seriously. Well, hell yeah, man. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the podcast. There we go. Light. Okay, I'll see you guys soon.
Yeah. Bye. Thank you so much for having me.